singing all the way around. I know you probably worked on the little quiz on the back of your bulletin. The score key's on the inside. Okay. I immediately, whenever I see a test, I go looking for the score key. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and we'll be looking in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22, in Revelation, chapter number 22. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. While the world's corrupt, becoming more wicked all the time, it's good to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you right now is that it's easy to get caught up in the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it won't get any easier between now and the time that this thing will end. If you're able to stand, look in verse number 1. If you're able to stand with me in Revelation chapter number 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. All right, then I want you to look verse 7. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Then in verse number 9, and then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren and the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. All right, then in verse number 15, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. All right, then in verse number 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. All right, this was a message in verse 16 to be testified in the churches. Verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the church of the living God, the bride of Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Then verse 20. And he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come. Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. Now, Father, bless the word to every heart, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good singing that we've already enjoyed together. We pray that now you'd hide the word in our heart, that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. And we say with the prophets and the men and women and the apostles of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while that if I might on heaven is a pure place. When you look into this, you'll find out is that it's not talking about the return of Christ here. The Christ has already returned in Revelation 19. He's not talking about the 1,000-year, the millennial reign that's already been mentioned in Revelation 20. He's not talking about things that happened back over in the book of Ezekiel in the millennial reign and so forth and on. Because he's talking about now where eternity, chapter number 21 begins. And here is a description of that beautiful, heavenly, divine built abode that we'll enjoy. It's a place called heaven. All right, I want to say to you that if you will, please, that when man's born, he's born a sinner. That means every man, woman, boy, girl's ever been born of woman, you're born a sinner. You're born without hope. You're born without God. You're born headed toward hell. And every day you're getting a little more colder and a little more callous to keep from repenting toward God and by faith trust the Lord Jesus. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it. You ought to let God, when he's knocking on your heart, you ought to ask God, Lord, let me come to you and come to Christ before it's everlasting too late for you. I want to say to you, number one, in this lesson we're looking at, is that you'll find heaven has got a clear place. It's a clear place, if you noticed it. This Bible said that, if you will, please, is that in the verses that we read there, that it's like a pure river, a clear as crystal. Everybody knows what it's like, especially if you've ever been to the hill country, or even if you've just been to a good spring-fed little old creek around here, how pure and how clear that it is. And somebody said that water purifies itself, running over sand and rocks about every 8 feet, you know, under normal conditions. And let me say to you that, if you will, that the most beautiful stream that you've ever seen here cannot compare to what you're going to see in heaven. There's a stream of gold, a pure gold, it's clear as a crystal. Listen, you and I are going to see some beautiful things that we can't describe and we can't imagine. What makes us stand in awe down here can't compare to what Jesus has got prepared for us on the other side. I begin to think about in the lesson we're looking at is that you'll find out is that heaven is a clear place. Did you know that whenever a gold is a mine, we don't have it like it is in its purity? And the reason being because the city of heaven's pure gold likened to clear glass. Pure gold, you can see through it. And let me tell you something right now, when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to realize is that heaven is a place of pure things. One of them is a pure river like a crystal. Number two is, you'll find not only is it clear, it's a clean place. Did you notice in the lesson that we were looking at in verse number 3 that we read, and there shall be no more curse? I'm glad for that. I don't know what there's going to be involved there, and I don't know what you can and cannot do, but I can tell you right now is that we live in a filthy, vulgar, vile place upon the face of this earth, and it was brought here by sin. Can you imagine what it was that Adam and Eve, whenever they were created and put in the Garden of Eden, how that it must have been before ever sin ever tainted? I mean, look how beautiful birds can sing right now. What was it before that sin entered? Look how beautiful that some of the most wonderful landscapes we've ever laid our eyes on. What must it have been before that sin came in, started growing thorns and thistles and briars and things of that nature? I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that heaven is a clean place. Now, one of the reasons why that when you and I look at that is that because in the midst of the street of it, the Bible said in verse number 2, there's a tree of life. It's a river where there's a tree of life. You know, back over in Genesis in chapter number 3, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, that God put a cherubim there with flaming sword and protected the way of the tree of life, unless that man in a sinful state should eat it and live forever. Here you can find he can freely eat of it and it won't bother and there's no danger, because without, did you notice that in the lesson that we read in verse 15, for without, listen, there's going to be some things that are not going to be in this beautiful, clean place. Because you know why? They're unclean. For without are dogs. And we're not talking about a pooch here either. We're not talking about pooch. We're talking about sodomites. We're talking about people that are godless and wicked. Have you seen some of the things on the little news excerpts of that woke movement and that wicked crowd? They're out there and they blaspheme God and they talk about how God's always been for abortion and they list Bible verses that are there. That's a godless, wicked crowd that's going to die cold and callous without God. Now, they've got a bunch of people they're leading along and training that are little girls that don't even know what they're talking about. In the Bible, listen, as you're looking at, for without are dogs. And let me tell you something, is that not only that, without are sorcerers and people that are involved in witchcraft and sorcery, people that are whoremongers, people that are murderers, people that are idolaters, people that are liars. That's what's going to be on the outside. They're not going to be able to be allowed in there. You know why? Heaven is a clean place. Notice in your Bible that, if you will please, is that in 2 Peter, do not lose your text, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, is that you'll find out that when God talks about dogs, he's not always talking about a canine creature. He's talking about something besides that in this passage. And the Bible says in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, and in verse number 22, And the Bible said, but it's happened unto them, and he's talking about a religious lost crowd in the verses that precede this, but it's happened unto them as a true proverb, the dog, as the dog returned to his own vomit, he said again, the sow that was washed is to the wallowing in the mire. I got to tell you right now is that we live in a world of religious dogs. Did you notice in verse number 6 of this same chapter that in verse number 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making an example unto those that should after live ungodly. See that word ungodly? That's how he describes them. In verse number 7, notice if you will, please, he calls them and says that they're filthy conversation. And then in verse number 8, you'll find is that it's a place to where they've got unlawful deeds. In verse number 9, he said, this is God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust, he calls them. They're in that passage. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, dear friend, that God said that heaven's going to be a place that's going to be clean, and there's going to be some things without that are not going to be clean, that are going to be banned from heaven. Look in your Bible over in Deuteronomy chapter 23. I want to give you something about that dog real quickly as we're looking at it and as we're seeing it in Deuteronomy in chapter number 23. That's the Bible said that when you begin to look there and you look at it in verse 17, in 23 verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now watch that. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. Even the Lord in the scriptures calling that sodomite a dog. Now, folks are not going to tell you that in the Uptown Baptist Church. Reason being is they had to get another Bible that was written by man and leaves out the word sodomite. They're sympathizers with that crowd. Let me tell you something. They changed the word sodomite in that chapter. They've changed that in that verse of scripture there to a cult prostitute. Let me say to you, make no mistake, the NIV, that's one of the most popular versions on the market, refers to it as a temple prostitute. I got to tell you, what about road whore? Why don't they call the road whore? You see that? They're not going to. Let me tell you, make no mistake about it, is that you'll find that over and over again, even the New King James Version jumped in on the bandwagon, and they call these perverted persons cult prostitutes. I tell you what God called them. God called them sodomites. God called them, buddy, they're just exactly what they are. And let me tell you, they're going to be banned from heaven. You know, this crowd here that always have got some of them that are on the news that are more, I guess it's the difference between a civilized sodomite and an uncivilized one. I don't know where you draw the line. They're both uncivilized in the sight of God. They're both an abomination in the sight of the Lord. If a man lies with a mankind like he do it a womankind, they're both to be stoned. They're an abomination unto the Lord. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it. Heaven is going to be a clean place, and we're not going to have any of these kind of people that are there that are mentioned back over in our text verse in our chapter in Revelation 22. I want to say to you, it doesn't matter what a person may or may not feel like. It matters what God said and how God feels about this or that. Now, I'm going to tell you, these are not in heaven, but the Bible said, quote, unquote, these are without. These are without heaven. These are not in heaven. I want to say to you, or whosoever loveth and maketh alive, what our text verse said. I want to tell you something. Do you know that everybody that adds to or takes away from the blessed word of the Lord, their part's going to be taken out of? Did you know that? Let me say to you that if you add to it, God's going to add plagues unto you. You take away from it, God's going to take away from you. In fact is, when you look into verse 15 that we read, after that he mentions dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now you know what that is, don't you? That's somebody that's invented their own way of salvation. Listen, if you've got a doctrine that preaches salvation in Jesus plus something or minus something, that's a lie. See? And that's a man-made lie. In fact, is over there in the book of 1 John chapter number 2. I want you to see the passage there because the question is asked, well, who is a liar? Well, he's got the answer. And he says in chapter 2, verse number 22, down through 23 of the book of 1 John, Now the Bible says in verse 22, he said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it. These that we've mentioned in that chapter over in the book of Revelation, they're not going to be in eternity in a place called heaven that's in a clean place, and because of the fact that they've been shut from without. All right, number three, back in our text again, let me say to you, this is a message, verse number 16, that belongs to the churches. The Bible says in verse number 16, and I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of you these things in the churches. Look at him. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. In other words, here's the message ought to be preached in the churches. And that when God saved you, you know where he added you? To the church. If you're here this morning and you're not part of the church, you're not saved. If you're here this morning and God's not put you in the house of God, you're not born again. Nobody can give you permission to do anything more or less than the word of the Lord is given. Nobody can ever tell you that, well, this is probably going to be all right. It isn't probably going to be all right if God says something against it. In the lesson that we're looking at, this is to be testified in the churches. Are you part of the church of the living God? I could have people go standing up and we wouldn't have time to get through everybody, but I'm going to tell you the day I got saved, God put me in the house of God. The day I got saved, God saved my soul and put me in the house, church of the living God. It don't matter if it's a man, a woman, boy, or girl, but anybody that's come to the age of knowledge of accountability, that when God saves you, he puts you in the house of God. Puts your feet on the solid rock. Establishes your going. And you're able to go with him ever since the day you got saved. I noticed something else there, is that you'll find that not only is it to be testified in the churches, but make no mistake about it, this is a message that ought to be preached by the church of the living God. And you know what it is? The Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, you're invited to be able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The message has always been that. When the Holy Ghost of God comes knocking on your heart's door, makes it personal unto you, you'd better pay attention to what God's got to say about it. Let me tell you right now, I've had people tell me, you know, it disturbed me for a while and then I got over it. That's dangerous ground to be on. You know, what ends up happening is that you'll end up, if you're not careful, becoming cold and becoming callous and to getting to where that you're numb and it just don't seem to bother you anymore. That's where we're at in the Church of the Living God across this country that we're living in. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, this Bible said the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that's knocking on your heart, and the bride, the message of the church, they say, come. He that heareth, let him come. He that is thirsty for God, let him come. I want to tell you something. You can come and drink of the water of life freely without price because the price has done been paid for. In this lesson that you're looking at, then he begins to warn, verse 18 and 19. We skip those two passages, but he talked about those that was here in the prophecy of this book. If any man add to these things, God will add the plagues. If you take away in verse 19 from this, you're part of be taken out of the book of life. And let me tell you something right now, what a sad day that would be. In the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to close in verse number 4, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. And we may take up and read some more of that later tonight. But as we look at verse number 2 and verse number 3, the Bible said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, and neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-Peor, and for all the men that followed Baal-Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. I want to tell you something. You ought to come to Christ this morning. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No making excuses about it. You know, I know a lot of people that say, well, you know, in our church, we believe. I'm not worried about what your church believes. I'm worried about what God said that you ought to believe, see? Well, you know, our preacher, I was asking our preacher. I don't give a rip about your preacher. If he speaks contrary to the word of the Lord, let God be true and your preacher a liar. in this lesson that we're looking at, God is not going to one of these days say, well, come on, there's a use underneath. Your parents set you down underneath an idiot, and I know it's not your fault. No, you're going straight to hell. That's what's going to happen to you. If you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're spending eternity without the Lord. We said this morning, Brother Jared brought up, people will want to say, you know, you're going to drive people away. Like drive them away to where? I mean, if you're not saved, you're already away. I'm trying to get you to come to Christ. See? Now, if you don't want that, there's no other alternative. There's no other choice. It's either heaven, where there's pure things, or it's hell, where there's nothing but impure stuff. You see that? In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that I don't know about you, but I am hell-proof and heaven-bound because of what these girls and these singers have been singing about. That's the grace of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding and the love of God that was bestowed upon us when he died on the cross, bowed his head, said it's finished. I wonder why we stand to our feet. Our ushers will come. Our musicians, rather, will come. Our song director is going to come. God has been tugging at your heart. It may have been a while. God's been tugging at your heartstring. And you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I want to be. I need to be. I ought to be saved. I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. It may be you're here and say, preacher, I'm saved. I've trusted Lord as my Lord and Savior, but I've never come forward for baptism to present myself unto the church of the living God as God's commanded that we do. Whatever your need is, you ought to come. Maybe you're cold in your heart. Maybe you're saved and just cold in your heart. Whatever the need is, the Lord knoweth. Now bless, I pray, the word to every heart. Finish the message there, Lord. Save the lost. Lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. What number is it?